It's inevitable that at some point, because we live in the Deep South, which is a heavily Protestant and fundamentalist Protestant area, we're going to be asked by somebody, maybe a friend or colleague or even a family member who's left the faith, have you been saved? And of course, the answer is yes, we have. There is no doubt about that, that Christ suffered and died for our salvation, that our baptism into him has given us the gift of salvation. But the deeper question is, are we working out that salvation? Are we going to retain that and live in the grace of salvation given to us by Christ? That's the important part. I guess it kind of begs the question, what does salvation mean anyway? Well, the Church's Catechism describes salvation as this. Salvation is the forgiveness of sin and restoration of friendship with God, which can be done by God alone. And that makes sense. The forgiveness of sin and salvation and restoration of friendship with God, which can be done by God alone. And that's what we heard from St. Peter in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, that there is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved than that of Christ Jesus himself. He saves us from sin, he saves us from death, he saves us from ourselves. And Christ does this by his crucifixion and resurrection. If that's salvation, then what is sin? Well, sin is an offense against God. It's an offense against God, an offense against his love and his commandments. It's a fault against reason, truth, and right conscience. Sin is a deliberate thought, word, deed, or omission contrary to the eternal law of God. It separates us from God, who is the author and the giver of life, who is the author and giver of human reason. He's the author and giver of truth and right conscience. Sin darkens the intellect, that is, it darkens our minds, it weakens our wills, and is the cause of ignorance, falsehood, confusion, misunderstanding, and misjudgment. Sin deprives us of the meaning of life and joy and peace. Sin is the opposite of love, and it ends in death physically, and it also ends in eternal separation from God in hell spiritually. That's a long definition of sin, isn't it? There's a reason for that. Notice whenever I defined salvation, it was short and simple. That's because salvation is simple. Sin is what complicates things and always does. Sin is what makes life terrible and difficult. But grace is there for the asking because of God's love. If we meet it and we ask for it, it's ours. Grace is there. Now, living a life of grace, living a life in Christ, doesn't promise to be easy, but it does promise to give us joy in the midst of sorrow. It gives us joy and strength in the middle of our struggle to be good and to do good. And in the midst of this world of sin and temptation, it does promise us eternal happiness with God if we are faithful. And again, how does God save? He saves us through Christ Jesus, his Son. Salvation came through Christ and Christ alone, and it comes into the world through his body on earth, which is the church that he established. Remember that Jesus chose his apostles to lead, to govern, and to guide the church by the light and power of the Holy Spirit. And all of us as believers receive the life of faith through the Catholic Church and through her teachings and through the sacraments. Therefore, as Catholics, we do believe that the church as the mother of our new birth. But we don't see the church as if she were the author of our salvation herself. So we see the church as the mother of our new birth, but not in the church as though she herself were the author of our salvation. The church is the instrument established by Christ, but still the instrument of Christ for our salvation, but not the source of our salvation. Christ himself is, and that too is from the Catechism of the Church. Now, sadly, I think that many Catholics have forgotten this, and just because we're human beings, oftentimes we put far too much emphasis on the human elements of the Church. We put a lot of faith, a lot of emphasis in our church leaders, in certain styles of how things are done in the Church. We put too much emphasis on language and on external things, and when we do this, whenever something goes against our desires, our personal way of thinking, then it causes resentment and anger and division in the body of Christ. And we see it all the time. People arguing whether or not the Mass ought to be in Latin or in English, whether we should be singing Gregorian chant or contemporary music, whether we should be following the teachings of the Second Vatican Council of the 1960s or the Council of Trent in the 1500s, loyalty to Pope Benedict versus Pope Francis, and on and on and on. Maybe you don't notice that, but as a priest, I can tell you I do. It happens continuously. But we've forgotten that strong opinions do not equal truth. Personal taste does not equal truth. Personal belief does not equal truth. What is truth is what Christ said, and that's what matters. What Jesus said, what Jesus taught, and what he taught us to do. What does matter is the authentic teaching of the Catholic Church given by the light of the Holy Spirit. And what is needed is that trust in God's grace and trust in the Holy Spirit's guidance, that if there's an error or mistake somewhere in the Church, that the Holy Spirit will indeed correct it when and how he sees fit. It's up to him, not to us. We are not saved, we are not led into friendship with God, we're not given the truth by human beings alone. The Pope doesn't work on his own. We're not given salvation and truth by him or by a bishop or by a priest. We're certainly not given salvation by a president or a politician or even celebrities. Salvation doesn't come by certain groups or movements or fashions or clubs or languages or any of these things. Honestly, such thinking that the human element is our salvation is heresy, and it is the cause of division. Always has been. We must always keep the focus on Christ. Christ and Christ alone, whom we seek as our Savior. Christ, who by the Holy Spirit's lead brings us to the Church. The Church which is the flock that he shepherds, that he's in charge of. It's not always easy to be faithful, especially in confusing and troubling times such as we live now, when the human elements that we have so long looked up to as models and guides for us begin to fail us, or when we begin to fail ourselves. But then again, we have to listen to the words of the gospel where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and mine know me. We're here to listen to his voice above all, to listen for his voice, to listen to his voice, to follow his way, to believe his truth, and to believe his life. As St. Peter reminds us, there is no other name by which we are or can be saved. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man, always. The Lord our God, the Lord Jesus, is the source of our good. His kindness, his mercy, his love, his truth, these things endure forever. Follow him and him alone.